Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Dan, wonderful idea. The light shines in the darkness. That's a form of light. And also want to thank the worship team today. It was beautiful worship. Today we're very excited and blessed that we get to celebrate communion one more time. Jesus has not celebrated communion in a while because he said that he would do that in heaven with his bride, with all of us. So for this may be the last time some of us take communion. You just never know until we take it in heaven. So what a, it's a holy day today. Yeah. And I believe the anointing of God is here today. I believe the Holy Spirit is here today. And I know that each of us need some miracle in our life. And I believe that God wants to do that. He wants to bless his children. And I think it's just as simple as God wants to bless people that are thankful. Yes. You know, when we're complaining all the time, who do you want to give a gift to? Someone that's thankful. And you give someone like a child a gift and they're just so thankful. And I think if we have an attitude of thankfulness, no matter what is happening, God has blessed me, he's blessed you. We are incredibly blessed. We should have a heart of thanks. Yes. And that will cause the Father to smile and continue to pour out blessings.
Amen to that, and you're in the right place this morning. God is just so faithful. So many exciting things are going on. By way of announcement, I wanted to share a praise report with you. I know that many of our girls already know this from the chat, but they thought that Carmen's been in the hospital for over a week, and they thought that she was about to be diagnosed with cancer. She's been very ill, but it's not cancer, and she's coming home. Probably today. So we're excited. God is so, prayer does work. Trust me when I say prayer works. Also, I want you to pray for Isabel. Isabel is very ill this morning and has requested prayer. And we just pray in Jesus' name that she's going to be healed. I know that she's going to be healed. I've just been trying to encourage her this morning. And she is healed in Jesus' name. So, and Matt's, he's improving, and so am I from my fall. Everybody, God is faithful at every turn. Well, this morning we're going to be sharing, and tomorrow night we're going to meet, tonight Miss Debbie's going to speak, and we're going to be blessed tonight, and also tomorrow the title of the message is, They Thought You Were Dead, and it's going to be very, very interesting and very exciting tomorrow night, so come and join us, and free snacks. But today, we're going to be speaking on the topic of living with integrity. And as we begin this, I want to tell you we're all human, we fall and we fail, but we need to live a life of honor and a life of integrity like Daniel. He's the first one that comes to mind. He was able to live, and you know, sometimes you say, well, it's hard to live in a world where everything is going wrong. No, it's hard to live in a world where we have everything at our fingertips, like Babylon. We have riches, we have blessings, and to live for Christ in the middle of all of that temptation. But I want to begin by saying that living with integrity is not part-time. And I'm going to tell you my all-time famous story that some of you may have heard, but it's the best example that I can give you that we should live with integrity at all times. And this was the story. There was a story of a man and a woman, and they were going to have a picnic. And they went by a fried chicken place, and they got fried chicken, and they proceeded to a park to have a picnic. When they got to the park, they opened their chicken bag, and it was filled with cash that had been taken from the day's the manager's saving to deposit. And for some reason, he put it in a bag. So the couple, being honorable, obviously, they took the cash back to the manager. And he was so impressed because there was thousands of dollars. And he thought, what integrity, what honesty. And he immediately acknowledged them and said, this is amazing. Nobody would bring back this much money. And he picked up the phone. He said, I'm going to call the local television station. And the man and woman were shocked, and they said, please don't do that. And he said, this is not my wife. Did they have integrity or did they not have integrity? I'm here to tell you that it's not a part-time thing to have honor and integrity. And you know what? You may not have the best reputation. People may think you're not a good person. But let me share with you the difference. Reputation is who people think you are. Character and integrity is who you really are. And Oprah Winfrey says it best when she said, doing the right thing even when you're absolutely certain that no one will ever know it. So we're created in the image of God. We need to, even though we're in Babylon, we don't need to let Babylon get in us. And I don't care what you've been through, how battered, how bruised you are, no matter what war you've been through and who's against you, I want to tell you that God can still use you. You can still be a man or woman of honor. It doesn't matter who you are. And, you know, the greatest example I have is this $20 bill. You may think that, you know, well, this $20 bill, a nice new shiny one is great. But how about this? How about this crumpled up one? Does anybody think that works just as well? Anybody? I think it does. I think it does. It will work the same. Well, how about, it's going to work for Lily. It works for Lily. Okay, Lily's got her $20. You know what? It doesn't matter how bruised or battered you are still valuable. That $20 works the same. And you can do great things in the kingdom of God, no matter how hurt you have been. You may be down, but you're not out. And I know that God wants, let me share this with you. How important are you to God? How do I know? You know, and let me say one more thing. I'm going to give this to Pastor Ken, I promise. You were not created to sit and watch television and to entertain yourselves. We were created in the image of God to glorify Him, to do great things for God. And anything you say, well, I'm not doing great things for God. If you're doing anything for God, you're doing great things. If you're doing something small, it's a great thing because He's a great God. You're doing it for a great God. And you're important to God because He thought so when He sent His Son to die for you and I. So the first step in becoming who God created you to be is living a life of integrity and honor, even in the hard times, and to celebrate our differences. Don't judge other people. I want you to think about something for a minute. You may look at computers, and they all look the same, don't they? They're square. They turn on. They turn off. You know what the difference is? What's on the inside of those computers? How much memory? How much speed? What's on the inside? And that's what makes a difference in you and I. What's on the inside? May Christ be in you.
That was really good. I've been thinking about this week, and we'll get to the message maybe, but I was thinking about the anointing of God and how important it is. When they made a movie about Muhammad Ali, who was Will Smith, and there were several interviews with Muhammad Ali and Will Smith together. And you know, Muhammad Ali was famous for kind of trash talking. He would always say, I float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, I'm so pretty, and yeah. He'd just go on and on, I'm going to whoop him, I'm going to... Yeah. But he had an attitude, right? Uh-huh. A personality. Yeah. And so the idea is that if you're going to see a movie about Muhammad Ali, the actor has to look like Muhammad Ali, but more importantly, because Will Smith doesn't look that much like Muhammad Ali, although he gained all this weight and stuff for the movie, and I thought it was as close as he was going to get. But it was the attitude that if you saw the excerpts from the movie, you almost think that is Muhammad Ali. So when they're talking together, Will Smith is running through his lines, and he's saying, I float like a butterfly, and he's doing the whole bit, the whole Muhammad Ali bit. And Muhammad Ali kept telling him, do it again. And he'd do it again. Do it again. And he would do it again. And So I heard a pastor saying, why, because he was using this as an illustration, why is he keep asking him to do it again? And then he said something that hit my heart. He said, we're made in the image of God, and when God looks at us, he wants to see himself through us. And what Muhammad Ali was doing, he was wanting to see himself through Will Smith. And he became Muhammad Ali, and physically, I think, of the garden that God is creating man in his own image. And think about, man doesn't look like a turtle or a frog. Everything, those are different images. You would never confuse an octopus with a turtle. But a human being he made in his own image. He used himself as a template so that if an angel had been on assignment in another galaxy had never seen a human being before and he had come to Earth, they would first see a turtle and go, oh, that was created by God. Look at that. The turtle even kind of has eyes. That's cool. But he would be able to see that that's a different, what a strange creature. Just like all the angels are described, and you see different beings in heaven with different type faces. So you see all these creatures, and imagine an angel that had never seen a human being, and they see a horse, and they see a pig, and they see all these different animals, and they're amazed. And then a human being walks by. The angel's mouth would just drop. That being looks like it was modeled after God himself. Look at the eyes, look at the mouth, the head, everything. See, God is a spirit, but he has eyes, he has hands. And of course, then Jesus became the image. So we look like him. And physically, God made us in his image. But the most important thing is what's on the inside, as Pam was saying about the computer. But to have the attitude, to be transformed into his image, to be transformed into his likeness. So that's who we become. And that's the only way people are going to see Christ in us, if Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So we have to act like him. We have to have the attitude. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Just like Will Smith he had the same mind and attitude of Muhammad Ali. He acted like him. And we bought it. And we have to have this, we have to have that same thing with God. So the anointing of God. Here's the mistake that we make. We put it on God. We give God the ball. And we say, as soon as God falls on me, as soon as the anointing falls on me, I'll start walking in it. As soon as God invades my life, as soon as I have an experience where I'm laid out on the floor for 3 or 4 hours, as soon as God does something like that in my life, then I'll start walking in that anointing. That's a wrong attitude, and you might wait a long time. Now, and I've heard it said this way, and I believe it. If God doesn't come to you, you go to him. If God, you don't feel that God is moving in your life, sometimes that happens. Paul is on the road. All of a sudden, he sees a vision of Jesus. Jesus came to him. The woman at the well, Jesus came to her. Sometimes God comes to you. But we read in the Bible that there is a ladder. We even see it in the New Testament, a ladder that goes from heaven all the way to earth. And if God doesn't come to you, you can climb that ladder and say, I'm tired of waiting. I'm not going to sit around and wait for God to come to me. I'm going to God. I'm going to bug God. I'm climbing that ladder. And you say, do you have the right to do that? And I would tell you, come boldly to the throne. Come bold. Doesn't that the Bible say that? If he doesn't come to you, you go to him. So here's the thing about the anointing of God. It says that he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You have to carry, you have to keep the anointing. If you come to the altar and ask God to anoint you, or if you just are praying, God, I want to anoint you. Well, he hears every prayer. And at that moment that you pray, he's with you. Right now, we're asking God to be with us, not only in this church, but inside of your heart. You're asking God to be in your heart. And because he listens to every prayer, where two or three are gathered, there's so many scriptures, we can say for a certainty that God is in this place and that God is in your heart if you've invited him in this heart. Now, here's the thing. It is very possible to leave God right here in this church and walk out that door and get busy with other things. But here's the secret. If you want to carry the anointing with you, then carry the anointing with you. He will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Don't leave here without him. Carry him to your next assignment. Carry him to the restaurant. Carry him with you wherever you go. All right, we're going to start talking about Job because we're talking about integrity. But I'm not going to apologize for this. This is on my heart, this carrying the Holy Spirit with us. So I'm going to interweave that in our message about Job. I can't help it. That's on my heart. Job had integrity, and a lot of bad things happened to him. Some very bad things. So I want to compare your situation to his. Not to say that you don't have it bad, but whatever situation you were in, I want you to know that Job ended up better than when he started. He did not give up his hope. He did not give up his love for God. He did not give up his faith for God. And today I would tell everyone here, including me, including you, you are loved. You are forgiven. You are amazing. And even Job's friends who didn't really know what was going on, whatever other people think about you, I will tell you what God thinks about you. God thinks that you are amazing. And in everything that happened to Job, I'm almost done here, Pam. He maintained his integrity, didn't he? God is close to the brokenhearted, which means that God is close to you. And think of it this way. Have you ever had a child that was lost? Can you imagine if you had a child that you didn't even know their address, that you knew that they were a prodigal and they were out there? As a mother or a father, how would you know that they would always be on your mind, isn't that right? The same way, you are always on his mind. God is always thinking about you. Jesus lives to make intercession for you. He knows you by name. And when you're missing, he's thinking about you, just like the story of the prodigal son. But here's the turnaround. The same way that the son was always on the father's mind, God needs to be on our mind. That's how you carry the anointing. Don't put it on God. I'm not carrying the anointing because God hasn't fallen on me and wrapped his arms around my neck. What you do is you go wrap your arms around his neck and say, I'm not letting go. Don't let go. Keep him on your mind. God, I'm going, we're going together. That's how you carry the anointing with you.
It's so true. It's so true. We really need to be who we are. We really need to crave for that anointing, to desire that anointing, that it should be like fire in our bones, that even if we tried to shut up, that was my verse at my ordination, even if we try to shut up, we just can't do it because the power of God, the love of God has to be inside of us, no matter what our situation. And that's the way it is with integrity. You know, I love that what Pastor Ken was saying about the anointing, and if you don't go to God, one of the things I always say, and I said it about the man at the pool of Bethesda, if you can't get to Jesus, this man didn't even know there was such a thing as a Jesus, but Jesus came right up to him. But then you have the woman with the issue of blood. She pressed into Jesus. She knew about Jesus. So then it became her responsibility to get to Jesus. You know, if you don't know Jesus, he came for you on the cross. And if you don't know him, he will come to you. But if you do know him, then it becomes your responsibility to seek him, to seek first the kingdom of God, and to live for him and live a life with honor and honesty. Integrity is being honest when a lie would be much, much easier. It's telling the truth even to people if it's the uncomfortable truth that they don't want to hear. It's living not the easy life, it's doing not what's easy, but right. And to reach out to people that you know will not even receive you, to go ahead and do that. Now, there does come a time you do not cast your pearls and let God be mocked. But I want to tell you that your life may seem like you're going through hell. It may seem like, I want to say it like this, because you're desiring to live with integrity. I have had people tell me, well, it looks, I tithe, I go to church, I do everything, and my life is falling apart. Look at the evildoers. They got all the money in the world. They seem like they're riding high. Excuse me. You be who you are. You live with integrity. When those evil texts come at night, don't you dare answer them. You live with honor even if they're not living with honor. And a lot of times that means keeping your mouth silent when you're through the attack of the enemy. Let me tell you something. You know what? Just because you're celebrated, just because evil seems to be winning, it doesn't mean that it is. All of that is temporary. You may feel like Job. Your friends may say, well, why did they get cancer? They must have done something wrong. Maybe they don't really serve God. But you know what? You can trust Jesus. Job maintained his integrity. I can trust a king. I can trust someone who gave his life for me. I can live for him. And you know what? You're the bride of Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. Job had a wife who encouraged him to give up. Still, he maintained his integrity, and he trusted God. He had friends who didn't encourage him, who actually discouraged him. Hey, you know, you're the one. There's something wrong in your life for all this to be going wrong. No, if everything's okay, you might be going the same direction the enemy's going. Maybe that struggle, God has allowed it in your life to strengthen you, for you to get strong, and for God to see, who are they really in the hard times? I know who you are when things are going great, but God needs to know who you are when the struggle, when Job lost everything. But you know, I want to say this, no matter what you're going through, you have a God that you can call on. You know, I have been listening to Elevation over and over and over at night when I go downstairs to pray and study. I listen to that over and over, and you got to get the album Lion. Get the album Lion, whatever you do. There is a song on there that says this: I am calling on the God of Jacob, the God who keeps covenant to all generations. I am calling on the God of Moses, the God who opened up the ocean. I am calling on the God of Mary, who has the favor of the Lord. I am calling on the God of David, who makes a man courageous. That's the God you serve. I think one of my favorite points about this message today is going to be this. Everybody doesn't have integrity. Many lie, but guess who's not one of the many? God. God has integrity towards you. He tells you the truth. He loves you regardless. And he will answer you when you call. And yes, you are anointed of the Lord. And yes, you do carry the fire of God with you. Don't let the enemy beat you down. Don't let him falsely accuse you or judge you. Hold your head and say, in the name of Jesus, I know who I am. I know who I am. I am blood bought. I am word taught. I am on fire. I am inspired. The person of Jesus Christ lives inside of you. He lives in you, the hope of glory. You have something to carry to all of the world. Every person you meet on the street should take note that person is different. They're not like the others.
So if you're saved, that means you're justified. And justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. So God puts us back in that position. And here's the amazing thing, because I want you to believe this, that when God forgives your sin, he forgets your sin. I think it's very interesting that psychiatrists tell us that most human behavior is motivated by shame.
Yes.
It's very interesting. Shame will keep us away from church. It'll keep us away from God. It'll put Adam and Eve in the bushes hiding because they knew that they had sinned. But that's what shame will do. It'll separate you from God because of your shame. But what the blood will do is it will completely wash away your sin.
Amen.
So much so,
amen,
that when God sees us, he doesn't see anything except the brightness of who he actually made. And that is the greatest miracle in the world, is that God could wash away our sins so that we have right standing with God, so we can go boldly before the throne of grace, so that we can be anointed of God. Because the devil would say to everyone here that you're not qualified for God to use you, that because of your past. But the interesting, that's your conversation with the devil, which you shouldn't be entertaining him. But in your conversation with God, he gets genuinely confused about what we're talking about because he doesn't remember those sins of the past. He allows you the privilege of standing as someone completely righteous, and he allows it to me. Now, in the Bible, there's amazing men and women that should be in the Hall of Fame. But there's also a bunch of people that were just dysfunctional. You know, and Samson was just dysfunctional. But here's the thing. When he was anointed, he was anointed. But the Bible says of Samson that the Spirit of God lifted off of him and Samson wasn't aware of it. And so the fact that he was anointed once doesn't mean he was always. Now, I believe that men like Elijah and Elisha, they carried that anointing wherever they went. Everywhere they went, they were carrying the anointing of God. There was a story I heard of a man and his wife that got into a fight. They were on the road going somewhere. And so the wife was so mad that she got into the back seat. And the husband, and so they had to get gas. So they pulled over to the gas station. He pumped the gas, got back in the car, and they started driving off. And she was giving him the silent treatment. So he figures, if she's not talking, I'm not talking. Yeah. So he drives for 45 minutes. And the whole way he's thinking, I ain't saying nothing. She ain't saying nothing. I'm not saying nothing. So for 45 minutes they had this silent fight. He pulls into his designation. And he says, while we're here, turns around, and there's no one in the back seat.
Yeah.
So he had been thinking that she was, you know where she was. She was at the gas station, which we used to call the filling station, right? You ever hear that? Let's go to the filling station.
Yeah.
Do you guys know where I'm going with this? If you don't, here's what it is. When we go to the filling station, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The anointing comes in our life. We're filled. But Samson left the Holy Spirit at the filling station.
Right.
And didn't realize that the Holy Spirit wasn't there, that the anointing wasn't there. Because if you're not talking, you know, think. But you can also carry the anointing with you.
Yes.
We were talking just the other day. Who was talking about the dry bones coming to life, Pam? Okay, it might have been Miss Debbie.
Yeah.
Was in one of her messages a few weeks ago, was talking about the dry bones coming to life, which I love the thought of that, by the way.
Yeah.
That what looks like it's dead can come back to life. Is that tomorrow's message?
They thought you were dead.
So I want to give you a mind picture before I turn this back to Pam. Which Jesus always taught with parables and illustration. And I like imagining things. So here's what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine an old, unused, dirty, dusty kerosene lamp. And it's got some spider webs on it, and the outside of the glass has got dirt on it. And because it's old, there's no oil, there's no kerosene in there. There's an old wick, which of course is dry. And so what should we do with this? Oh, it used to be beautiful. What should we do with this old kerosene lamp? Well, it's very simple. What we're going to do, let's get some water and a wash rag. And let's completely wipe off the outside of the glass, the inside of the glass. Let's completely give the kerosene lamp a bath. You know, wipe it down so you have this beautiful, empty kerosene lamp. Now what I want you to do is I want you to get some brand new kerosene, some new oil, and I want you to pour the new oil into the old kerosene lamp, which is becoming new again. And if the wick is still in place, the name wick is an action word. Things always go down because of gravity, but if you have a wicking action, you'll see the liquid go up, right? Because it like climbs the wick. You all have seen that. So the oil that you put in will climb the wick. And now the wick is no longer dry. And if you should happen to have a match, and if you should light that kerosene lamp, that thing is going to be a light shining in the darkness. And let me tell you something, that light, if that's full, that light would burn for hours and hours and hours and hours. I like kerosene lamps. We used to have those when I was a kid, so I can relate to kerosene lamps. So y'all know where I'm going with that too. I shouldn't even go through it, but you are the kerosene lamp, right? That's you. It's the old bones. You are the kerosene lamp, and I don't care if there's no oil. I don't care if you're dirty on the outside. God can easily clean up a kerosene lamp. That's not a big job. You're just wiping down the dust. So the oil, though, if we can ask God for the anointing of God, the oil of God, and if we can get lit not by strange fire, we can carry that anointing. Sister Maribel, we can carry that anointing everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we can be a light shining in the darkness. And it doesn't even take any effort. And the last thing I'll say that fascinated me as a child, and probably everyone else was bored by it, but when you look at the flame of a kerosene lamp, you see this wick, which you know is made out of some sort of cloth, and you see it burning. And even though it's burning, it's not burning. The wick is just like I'm here. I'm surrounded by oil and gas. But the oil is what's burning. So even though you're on fire, it's like you yourself are protected. So anyway, that's my illustration, the kerosene lamp.
You know, there's an old song, a kid's song that says, keep the oil in my lamp, keep it burning, keep it burning. It's our responsibility. You know, one of the greatest things that I say ever happened in my life was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second greatest thing is to be refilled and refilled and refilled. It is our responsibility to keep oil in that lamp and to keep the outside clean. That is our responsibility because that's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And we should have that because who wants a powerless gospel? We need to be able to lay hands on the sick. And part of that is what we're talking about today is living with integrity. He's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. You know, not just so that you can jump around and shout around, so that he makes us holy when he comes in. We're set apart. That's difference. There should be a marked difference in our life. But I want to share with you just for a brief minute about when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, he's the one who gives you the power and the ability to live with integrity, no matter what people are saying about you, no matter what's happening in the world around you. He gives you the power. He is the one. Otherwise, you're trying to do it on your own, and you're going to fail, and you're going to fall time and time again. But he will enable you and strengthen you. He'll help you to be kind when people are unkind to you. He'll help you to keep the covenant that you're supposed to keep with God. You know, and I say that there are examples in the Bible of people who lived with integrity, and Daniel is one, and God protected them. Do you know that your integrity will protect you? You don't have to worry about telling, will somebody discover that I told a lie? No, because you're not telling a lie. You're telling the truth. You tell the truth. think about Daniel in the Bible. I think it's so wonderful that he had integrity with God, that he was so bold that he was willing to open his windows, and that meant God closed the mouths of the lions. Do you know that if you live with integrity, that God will close the mouths of the lions that threaten to eat you? Do you know that if you live with integrity, like the three young Hebrew men, that when you're put in the fire of life, that you will come out completely unharmed? Do you know that if you do like Job and maintain your integrity, that God will bless you with double and triple blessings, even though you lost a lot of stuff along the way? You know, I heard a testimony one time of someone who said, you may have to lose the ship, but you're going to make it safely to shore. And you know that's about the story of Paul. And he said, you may have to lose the relationship, and you may have to lose the friendship, and you may have to lose the whole ship, but you're going to make it, because you're going to float on a board if you need to, on a wooden board. And we know that board is the cross. We know that's the cross. And you can claim the lives of other people. But we see, a lot of people see that there's no integrity around us. And I'll give you that. I mean, the free company that promised you, you know, that they were going to give you, you know, the free item, it's not free. They're taking $19.99 out of your account every month for that free item. Did you know that? Did you know that? The one-hour cleaner that has the sign in the window, do you know it takes 2 days to get your things from the one-hour cleaner? I learned that. I learned that all on my own. That. Did you know that the free item that comes with the meal is not free at all, that you paid for it on the other end? That's not integrity. Did you know that sometimes the minister runs away with the secretary? You've seen things like that. Did you know that sometimes friends leave? That's okay if people leave. It's not okay if you leave. That's okay if people told you a lie. It's not okay if you tell them a lie. That's how integrity works. You know, and let me tell you that God is the one who has integrity. He's never going to lie. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to do anything like that. Psalm 15:1-2. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who can be in your presence, Lord? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who can live there, guys? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. And one other verse is Psalm 25:21. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Do you know that right now in my personal life, I am counting on the fact that my integrity and my uprightness is actually protecting me, because my hope is in the Lord? And that's what we should all know this verse, Psalm 25:21. May integrity and uprightness protect me, like it did Daniel, like it did the three Hebrew children. Because trust me, guys, there are some lions out there, but you're safe. You're safe in the presence of the Lord, like Pastor Ken said, in that anointing.
So how long can you walk in that anointing? If you leave this church today, how long can you walk in the anointing? And I believe the answer is as long as your mind is stayed on him.
Amen.
That he'll be with you.
Amen.
I was thinking of examples in the Bible of men and women that would not let go and would not take no for an answer, that even when rebuked by Jesus, they would not take no for an answer. The woman that asked to be blessed, and Jesus said, I'm sorry, this is for the Jewish people only. And she said, well, even the dogs get to eat. She would not take no. She would not take no. The woman with the issue of blood grabbed onto the hem of Jesus. She attached herself to Jesus until she got her miracle. Jacob wrestled with God. And God said, let me go. And Jacob said, I don't think so. I'm not letting you go. Elisha wants a double portion. You're going to have to follow him around. You can't let go. You've got to be wherever he is. And he says, well, why don't you go into town and buy some bread? Uh-uh. If you're not buying bread, he kept him there. Ruth you need to go home, Ruth. I'm leaving. Just go somewhere else. Uh-uh. Where you go, I'm going.
Right.
Your God's my God.
Right.
Wherever, whichever direction you go is the direction I'm going. The story of blind Bartimaeus. We know that he got healed. I was reading that this week. Couple of things I wanted to point out about blind Bartimaeus. And I didn't know this, that I guess there were so many poor people that they kind of regulated it, that you had to be an official beggar so that they wouldn't harass you to be on certain corners. And so they actually gave you a beggar's coat. That was like your license to beg. I've got my beggar's coat.
Yeah.
So that was like a permit to be there so that they wouldn't tell him he had to leave. He had made, everyone knew, okay, he proved he was blind. He's got a beggar's permit. When Jesus called him finally, actually he started calling Jesus first. Why? Because Jesus wasn't coming to him. He wasn't. Jesus was not coming to blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by. If Jesus isn't coming to you, you need to get his attention. Right? So many examples in the Bible, it says, and Jesus would have walked by, but they called out to him. He does that on purpose, by the way. It's not that he's ignoring you. He's kind of looking at you through the side of his eyes, saying, what are they going to do? Are they going to let me walk by? Or are they going to be like that woman and tackle me? You know, are they going to be like that man and cut a hole in the roof? Say, well, if he's not coming to us, we got to cut a hole in the roof. And then we got to climb up on the roof with a paralyzed man. Come on, that's dangerous. And then we have to figure out how to lower him. That's how to show, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't take no for an answer. God will say, okay, you can let go of me now. No, no, no. Moses would leave the tent of meeting, but who stayed, Pam?
Joshua
would not. Moses said, all right, we're done here. And Joshua, I'm not done. I'm not letting go. I'm staying. And then we see that what God did because of that attitude. So blind Bartimaeus cast off his garment, which means his license to beg was going to be over with. He didn't need that garment of shame anymore. But watch what happens after he gets healed. Because that could have ended the story. He was healed, praise God. I love this. It says, and he followed Jesus down the road. Oh, wherever Jesus goes, I'm going. So this is going to be my final thought, but I want to, however we do communion this morning, I'm going to go to the piano. We're going to worship. We're going to take communion. I would invite you, anyone, that when you get your communion elements ready, once we have them passed out, to come to the altar area to pray, if you feel comfortable doing that. But what my prayer is for this morning is for the plan of God as Jesus outlined it. He says, it's necessary, it's expedient. I have to go away. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter. So the plan for the New Testament church, the plan for this church has not changed. Jesus' plan was to send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to live within us, that we would carry that anointing with us. So as we come to these altars, as we begin to pray, as you make your heart right, I want you to say to yourself, I'm no longer waiting on God. God invited me to ask. He invited me to knock. He invited me to climb that ladder. He said to come, not just come, but come boldly. Come boldly, that we can be bold and say, God, I'm coming to you. And I'm asking for that anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for the oil of the kerosene. I'm asking for the fire of heaven. I'm asking that you would reignite a light in me that would be a light shining in the darkness. I'm asking that when God looks at me, would see me. I would have the attitude of God, that I would have the attitude of the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, that we do not leave you at the filling station. God, I ask that the anointing that would fall upon us today, the forgiveness that would fall upon us, the application of the blood, the application of the oil of the Holy Spirit, that we would carry it out of here, that we would be God conscious this afternoon. As we go our separate ways, that we walk with God like Adam did, like Enoch did, that we be friends of God like Abraham was and Moses was. Lord, go with us and we will go with you. Hang on to us and we will hang on to you. God, I ask that you would transform families, transform lives. Father, we trust you. You are a miracle-working God. So we walk with you, and we expect amazing things. Father, we're so thankful. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for an opportunity to see tomorrow what you're going to do in us. God, we have hope. We have hope. And right now, by invitation, Lord, we invite you into this place as we take communion to be with us, to walk among us, to touch hearts, for the Holy Spirit to infill hearts, for the blood of Jesus to forgive sins. Father, to make us righteous, to make us justified, to make us holy, to infuse us with your life and your love. Father, we are so thankful. Hallelujah.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.